Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Melissa Ascaro, who is the author of Intentions, a Mindset Reset Guide to Happiness. Melissa is a writer and life coach who has been exploring intentions and affirmations and basically has put together a 90-day program to help you realize your goals and your dreams. Thanks for joining us, Melissa.
Having me.
So, Melissa, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got, started on this path?
Sure. Well, I'm a life coach. I'm located actually in Delaware, and my path, it kind of happened by accident. I didn't start off wanting to be a life coach. My background is actually in clinical social work, and at the time when I was working in the field, I was working in a really high pressure, lots of crisis situations, and didn't really feel I had the right tools at the time to really handle myself. So after going through that process, I went through a lot of different things on my journey and started becoming more involved with coaching, and found that coaching was a really beneficial way to help people, because it's all about really changing the patterns of our thinking. And that's a little bit about how Intentions was created. I wanted to create something for individuals that was going to be short and with the 90 days, not intimidating, and just really help them to change their patterns of thinking to thinking more positively and ways that are a little bit more serving, so that they really could have fulfillment in all areas of their life.
So when you work with clients, what are some of the things that you find that are causing blockages in their life, whether it be, their money, health, relationships? What are the big blockages?
Well, for a lot of people, really what it boils down to is people have fears of not being enough. And not being worthy. And a lot of times what we do is we run a lot of patterns in our lives which blocks us and keeps us from getting what we want, limiting beliefs. So as a coach, what I do is work with clients to really help them identify their limiting beliefs and destroy them. And from there, create new beliefs that are going to be more powerful, more empowering, and more serving. It's a process that, really, change really can happen in an instant. It's just a matter of when you decide that you want to make things change and you want to see things differently.
So how should somebody go about, starting the process of looking at what they're creating versus what they want to create?
It all really starts with your focus, what it boils down to, and that's what the Intentions really is all about, shifting your focus. So how the book is laid out is starting off your day with an intention. And throughout the 90 days, there's different intentions like kindness and compassion and gratitude, and focusing in on that. Wherever your focus goes, that's where your attention is going to go. So if you're focusing on all the rotten things in your life and the bad things and the things that you don't have, then your brain is just going to find more of those things in your life. But if you're focusing on things that are positive, that are affirming, you're going to start to see them more and more in your life, and your focus is definitely going to shift.
So when, there's a lot of talk about loving yourself, because obviously we can't love others if we don't love ourselves, or it's not a good kind of love. And it seems to me that one of the most important things for people to be able to interact with the outside world is that they have respect and love for themselves. So one of the things I would think you would want to do is introduce those concepts to them, that the self-talk that is negative and, become aware of what your thoughts are. Are they negative? Are they critical? Or are they encouraging?
Definitely. Yeah. Wherever your thoughts go, that's where your focus is going to be. And in life, what happens is that we operate from two different standards. We operate operationally. And operationally isn't always who we necessarily are. Who we truly are is our authentic core, operating from an authentic core-based place. And a lot of times we won't go there just because it, you know, puts you in a space that's maybe a little bit more vulnerable, putting yourself mm-hmm. out there. It's not always easy to operate from that authentic place. It's much easier to go to an operational mode because that's a little bit more protected. And what intentions really helps readers do is to shift to a more authentic place where you can start to see things that you could be more grateful for, start to find that inner compassion. You know, it's not about sugarcoating things because, you know, sometimes we do have rotten days, but it's really trying to find the lesson in those moments and shift our perspective.
Well, a lot of the, I studied NLP in, you know, fairly advanced NLP.
Yes.
And I see some of the influences that NLP brings to your book.
Definitely.
You know, when you're trying to shift and you don't really realize how easy it is to shift unless you experience something like NLP. Mm-hmm. I want to tell a short story about this that's interesting. I was doing TV. I was doing a lot of television, but I was unable to shift into radios. For some reason, TV was very easy, but when I got on radio, I couldn't shift the focus through my voice. You know, it was very, very difficult. So one of my friends who was an NLP expert spent about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden I could do radio fine. And that just really impressed me that we can change. Things can shift very easily and remarkably without a lot of effort.
Definitely. Yeah. NLP's played a really major part of my role as a coach, too. And it's like you said, it's amazing how things can shift. It's just the moment that you decide that you want things to be different. You really do have mm-hmm. a lot of power. And, you know, unfortunately, most people go through life, you know, in this victimization mode and continuing mm-hmm. to be a victim and continuing the victimization through the thoughts that they're having. But we can begin to start to change that just the moment that we shift our thoughts.
True. So in terms of explaining to your clients about what they're projecting with their words, with their thoughts, with their actions, that what you're putting out into the world is then getting reflected back to you. How do you explain that to them in terms of do you just ask them to become aware of everything they're doing, or are there particular things that they have to do in addition to the awareness?
Well, awareness is number one. I mean, they definitely have to become more aware and having the willingness to be open to change. You know, with intentions, it's really, again, starting to, you know, when you're starting this kind of practice, it, you know, it can be a little bit different because it's a different way of thinking and really mm-hmm. basically you're rewiring your brain or retraining the way that you've always thought. So I also tell my clients to, you know, be really gentle with themselves because, yeah, they might go back to doing some old patterns because that's what they know and that's what's familiar. It's all about mm-hmm. really just rewiring your brain, learning this new skill and incorporating it into your life, you know, every day by focusing on those things that are going to be more positive and really looking at the meaning that you're giving, you know, events that happen in your life. You know, I've had some personal challenges going on in my life, and I decided I really didn't want to make them, give them meaning that they were awful things, that they really were events that I could learn from. And even though they were challenges, by looking at the situation differently, it's so much more empowering than just, again, by being that victim.
Yeah, you know, you hear the story about, you know, trying to go back before you incarnated when you're in spirit and you're mm-hmm. making agreements with people that you're going to come in with, you know. The three different men you're going to marry, and you know, and how that's going to play out, and then you realize that maybe, you know, the fact that he victimized you in the first marriage was so that you could quit being a victim, you know.
Right, it's, right, right.
And maybe you made that agreement with him, and you fell in love, and falling in love is almost like, you know, just checking off that contract. You know, you're going to get married as quickly as you can so that you can get into the nitty-gritty of the spiritual lesson.
Right.
And,
everything.
Yeah. The idea is not to try to marry the same person, you know, five times. You know, you gotta grow up and grow out of it.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Everything serves us, whether we believe it or not. Everything, every event that happens, you know, life doesn't happen to us. Life happens for us, and everything served us. And so it's a matter of taking those moments that may be challenging and really looking at them differently. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Michael Rice was on the program a lot, and he used to say there was the geographical solution. You know, you married somebody who you just had horrible fights with, and you divorced them and moved to California, and then, you know, the problem is you went to California with you, and then, of course, you recreated everything in California. So there really was no geographical solution until you shift.
Exactly.
And quit projecting the victim, which attracts the victimizer. You know, it's like a train. Once you're putting out those victim vibes, the only men you're going to attract are victimizers. You know, you just won't attract anybody else.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what my hope is, whether I'm coaching or through my book with intentions, is just to really start to shift those mindsets and create more positive, more serving thoughts. And this can translate to all areas, whether it's your relationships with, loving relationships, whether it's your career and or just the way you feel about yourself every day.
Yeah, I treat a lot of cancer here. I have a cancer clinic that we've had since 1999. And one thing I've noticed is one of the most common, there's usually a number of causes of cancer, but one of the most common causes is emotional. And the emotional thing is often a conflict of some sort. And it's very interesting that the victim is the one that gets cancer, not the victimizer. So say you're having a real difficult relationship with somebody, it's not the victimizer that gets the kidney cancer, it's the victim. Or if the woman is married to a man who is supposed to nurture her, but instead he's cheating on her, then she gets the cancer, not him. So it's very, very important for your health to get out of this victim-victimizer thing, especially if you're the victim, because cancer victims got there a lot of the time. Maybe not every time. I'm saying that probably in Chernobyl, where you were exposed to a lot of radiation, got thyroid cancer. I mean, there's other causes of cancer, but in my experience, the emotional component, the first time you get the cancer, is important. Now, later on, it's interesting, a bad electromagnetic environment. So you start Wi-Fi and all this, or a cell tower gets built next to your house. That can cause a recurrence of cancer, okay, the cancer coming back. But the first time is usually that emotional thing, and that emotional thing usually involves being a victim or seeing yourself as a victim.
Exactly. Our emotions are so powerful, and you know, what a lot of people really don't realize is that we do create our reality, and it really begins with our thoughts. You shift your thoughts, you shift your mindset, you shift the meaning that you give things, and you can really shift everything in your life. I mean, we truly have more power than we think we do.
True. So, you know, a lot of us grew up in households where things weren't as loving as they could be. You know, if you grew up in a household where there was a lot of criticism, you were put down. You might say, you know, that you were a victim of your house, your parents, and your upbringing. But the alternative to that is, well, maybe you came into this lifetime wanting to learn unconditional love. And to do that, you had to be born into a situation where there was only conditional love, you see. And then you had to, like, almost learn to swim with weights on. And then when you got out of that and was okay with it and got through it and could still love yourself, even though nobody else ever loved you unconditionally, then you're able to, you know, do unconditional love very well.
Exactly. That's what's so beautiful about this, is when people can really start to recognize that everything that's happened in their lives, even to negate that, you know, some people have gone through some really, really challenging times in their lives, and mm-hmm. not to recognize that, but everything that they've gone through has really taught them so many lessons and made them the individual that they are, and so many things that they can give back to the world, and so many lessons that they can teach others. And it's really, you know, drawing strength from those challenges that, you know, at one point, you know, you were wondering, you know, why is this happening to me? But it really happened for you to make you, you know, who you are and what you are to contribute to this world.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times we really develop our gifts under stress and pressure. I went through a period of time when I was threatened a great deal, and this was a significant, law enforcement, FBI, we're talking, mm-hmm. you know, a number of different people, agencies, you know, told me that I needed to be armed at all times and that my life was in danger. So
wow.
I lived in a world where things weren't safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see myself as a victim. I never did. I saw this as an opportunity for me to use my clairvoyance at a continuous level, okay, a continuous
mm-hmm.
level, that you could never let your guard down. You could never... There really was no safety during these two
right.
years. And so, I had to just step up my game. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand what freedom there is in just living a normal life, you know, not having your life threatened. You know, not
mm-hmm.
having that hanging over you all the time. But again, I didn't see myself as a victim, ever. I just used my guidance on every single thing that I was doing. I was very careful not to go into, parking garages alone. You know, I had to plan everything. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
go on vacations alone. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't go on walks. I mean, like, I couldn't walk in the park alone. Isn't that interesting?
Right, right.
I had to do that. I mean, the authorities were telling me, based on evidence and also, other guidance systems were in place telling me that I was in great danger.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it through.
You did.
I was like, how
amazing it was for you to really to shift that, and you did that on your own.
I know,
and
who would think that in this day and age that you would have to go through something like that?
Right, right.
But you know, other whistleblowers have had to do that. I mean, I interview
right.
a lot of whistleblowers on this show, so I am fully aware that what I went through, other people have gone through too, and
mm-hmm.
they also use spiritual guidance to get through it. And some whistleblowers didn't make it. Some actually died. You know,
wow.
Not everybody
wow.
made it through. It's kind of like an ultimate spiritual test. You know?
Wow, wow, it really is. Wow.
So yeah. So it's kind of but you know, like I said, I would not have said to people, I'm a victim of
mm-hmm.
you know these people that are trying to do this.
Right. Right. You changed your reality.
I didn't ever even think it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to go into victim mode because there's no protection in victim mode.
Exactly.
There's no protection.
Exactly.
Not, you know, beyond. You have to know that you are safe, that you will not, nobody can take your life unless, you know, it's at a higher level that's, you know, that says it's time to come home.
So. And it's really all about trusting yourself, that at the end of the
it
day,
is.
Yeah,
you
know a lot, and a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, we don't second guess ourselves. But at the end of the day, just to learn to trust yourself, that you know exactly what it is that you need to do, you know, exactly who you are. A lot of times
mm-hmm.
we get misled by some of the, you know, the day-to-day stuff or self-doubt. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to learn how to trust yourself and follow that, you know, that internal guide that we all, each of us have.
Right, right. And it's very interesting. Even, you know, this is not my world at all, but one of my friends was an ex-CIA agent.
Oh, wow.
And he said that even in the CIA, where there are assassinations. I mean, that they, there are agents that whose job it is to assassinate people, say that they recognize that when somebody doesn't die when they're supposed to, that there's mm-hmm. something else there, even amongst the assassins. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
That they realize that, okay, you know, I just did all these things and this person should have died, but they didn't,
mm-hmm.
that something else is going on.
Yeah. That's really interesting how that goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it's an opportunity to up your game. And, you
exactly.
know, I would have never thought, you know, as a plastic surgeon that, I mean, maybe if I was in, you know, the NSA or the CIA or the, you know, some other covert operation that I would be playing games like this. That's, you know, that's crazy that as a plastic surgeon that I would be subjected
right.
to that. But, you know.
I love what you said. It's an opportunity to up your game. I love that. Because,
I did.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's how I look at victimhood. I mean, you know, you can always blame somebody or something or some government person or, you know, whatever. You can always find someone to blame for everything that's wrong in your life.
Yeah.
But that person isn't going to be able to change anything. Only you're going to be able to change things.
Exactly. We have a way about finding blame with everybody. We can find blame with anybody. That's really it's been inherent. But at the end of the day, we have to take personal responsibility. And the only thing that we really can control is what we think, what we say, what we feel, and what we do. And you know, by shifting our thoughts that are going to be a little bit more serving, by focusing on the things that we want in our life, by focusing on all the blessings and the gratitude and everything that we have already in our lives, I mean, we create that reality that we want. We create the reality that, you know, that we deserve.
That's right. So you talk in your book about why you chose 90 days. You want to
yes.
tell the listening audience a little bit about why 90 days came to you as the period with which to do this program?
Sure. Well, I mean, with any kind of change, it's all about doing something that's going to be repetitive. So 90 days is really the amount of time that you need, and you know, to instill a habit, and instill not really just even a habit, but it just starts to become a part of who you are. And that's the whole mm-hmm. concept of really conditioning it, and you know, really reconditioning your brain to start to think and focus in on these different thought patterns. So, you know, that's where I came up with the 90 days. And, you know, as you read the book, you can kind of see some other, you know, references to other programs that are 90 days that have been, you know, been really pretty successful. But again, it's creating that repetition. And at the end of the day, by reading this book and practicing the exercises, it won't be something that you just do, but it really will start to become a part of who you are. And the more that, you know, it's part of who you are and it's congruent to who you are, then you're more likely to do it, as opposed to just, you know, that you're just doing this. It's just something that you do. So, you know, you're mm-hmm. you're a radio show host. That's not something that you do. That's something that you are. And it's the same thing with intentions. It's, you know, this is something that you are, part of who you are.
Well, I can tell you this. I've been doing the radio show now 18 years, and, you know, I do everything with spiritual guidance, which means I ask before I don't just assume I know what's best. So, you know, when we got into money problems, I would ask if I could not do the radio show, which at that time was $250 a show. So that's mm-hmm. quite a bit of money. And
right.
I never got permission to stop the radio show. So I came to the conclusion the radio show is important for somebody up there. You know,
that's like, right. it's part of who you are.
Because I could never stop it now. You know, now
exactly.
that I'm on BBS radio, it's considerably less expensive. But you know, 18 years ago, we didn't have the Internet
right.
radio shows like we do now. We were
right.
on regular radio, you know, which is
right.
expensive.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way for you to serve, and it's part of who you
yeah.
are. It's part of you're helping people. You're
mm-hmm.
you're educating people. It's just something that you are. It's no longer something that you just do. And
right.
and that's the whole concept with intentions is, you know, incorporating these intentions. At first, it's going to feel a little bit funny because again, it's starting to shift your mindset, and you're doing something
mm-hmm.
that's a little bit unfamiliar, and it feels a little mm-hmm. funny. But then the more you do it with repetition and intensity, the more, again, it starts to become a part of who you are, and then you won't even think about it. You just do it because that's the person that you are.
Well, I have another way I'm going to use your book, and it just occurred to me. I'm not going to do it in order. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask to open to the page that I need the most that day.
I love it. Yeah.
I think that kind of guidance will work for me.
That's
you know,
because
I
That's
think
great.
Every, you know, they're all wonderful. They really are. But I can see
you.
That some days that day 37 may be the most important one or day 62 might be the most important one, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. That's so great. It's actually funny because I when I first received a copy of the book, that's exactly what I did. I just kind of opened it up. I said, "What do I need today?" And I think I can't even remember. I think it was a celebration. So it's kind of
right. Right
along
yeah.
With,
well,
yes,
that
with,
was appropriate for your book coming out. It really was.
Right.
Yeah. So you can use it like that, or you can use it just in sequence.
Definitely. Yeah. There's really, yes, it's really designed to help people however they most find it serving. And it's really designed for the 10 minutes in the morning with the exercise, with the meditation and the focus word, and then 10 minutes in the evening with the journaling exercise. And I did the 10 minutes because a lot of times people, you know, when they are starting any kind of practice, whether it's meditation or reflective thinking or intention setting, it can get overwhelming. And I wanted to really make it be something that people, it's attainable and it's not intimidating. I love traditional meditation. I really do. And I appreciate some of the different types of meditation. And this is just another tool that you can use in your toolbox. To really give exposure to people that may never have even considered something like this at all, whether you have a practice or you don't.
So I wanted to give you the opportunity at this point in the show to give your contact information.
Yes, I would love that. So the best way people can reach me is my website's a great way to get in touch, and it's melissaescaro.com, and my last name is Escaro. And my email is pretty easy. It's melissa@melissaescaro.com. And on my website, you'll see I have a couple things going on. I do a weekly blog, which is actually an intention of the week, which is really great. People can follow along, and each week I give a new intention to think about that week. And then you'll also see on the website information about the book, of course. I do offer coaching as well, and I do offer a complimentary session so people can go on there and check that out and sign up for a complimentary coaching session with me. And then one of the other areas I'm venturing into as well is taking these intentions into the business field. And I have a free gift on there for people that want to, you know, bring intentions into their work and into their career, because that's also a really great way that you can start to utilize intentions as well.
So, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
So I wanted to take a look at, you start off day one at, I let go of anger to make room for good.
Yes.
A lot of people have a lot of deep-seated anger in them, and they don't know where that comes from.
Yes.
So I think that's interesting that you started with the release of anger.
Release of anger, yes.
What you're saying, and I agree, is that if you have anger within you, then that blocks things from coming to you.
Definitely. It definitely does. And here's the thing, too, about emotions, is that there's no good or bad emotions. Emotions are just emotions. But the challenge is when we start to go into emotions that aren't so serving on a regular basis, then it's almost like we become addicted to that particular emotion to fulfill that particular need. So anger is one of those emotions that, you know, inherently anger's not a bad emotion, and you shouldn't be, you know, feeling bad if you are feeling angry. If you're feeling angry, it's just an opportunity for you to see, okay, what's really going on here. But it's about how exactly you're going to take that anger and what exactly you're going to do with that.
Yeah, I know that when I get annoyed, I create quicker than anything. My annoyance will create in less than 6 hours. I'll give you an example. I got up one morning and I was just annoyed, and I said, I want something good to happen today. And before noon, somebody called and said, I won lunch for 30 people.
Oh, that's great.
At a restaurant. So it's just emphasizing what you just said. When you have that annoyance, that release of emotion, mm-hmm. it'll create really quickly. And actually,
exactly.
It can create good things because I created all those lunches.
It's great. Yeah. So with anger, yeah, if you're so full of anger, you really don't have, you know, it's consuming. It can be consuming to you, and so you don't have room for other positive things to fill up your life. So it's starting to let that go, to appreciate the anger for what it is, and what it can. What basically, like you said, you kind of it gets you fired up. It gets you like, okay, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
emotion
does create.
There.
It really does.
Yeah.
And the problem is that so many people are creating without realizing they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating very quickly because they have a lot of emotion, but they're totally unaware that they're in the process of creation. And then they get all upset with what they created.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's taking those different emotions and, again, going towards the ones that are going to be more serving for you, you know, and again, recognizing that, you know, every emotion there's no good or bad emotions. They're there for a purpose, but exactly how you're going to move forward with whatever situation you're approaching.
Right. So let's see. So day two is, if I think it, I become it.
Yes, I love that one.
So you're recommending that they visualize their dreams in their meditation and then use all of the senses to create a real experience.
Exactly. Yeah, visualization is really, really powerful. And, you know, taking it on a level where it's really visceral, where you not only just, you know, see it, but create it in your body. You know, if you want something in your life, you know, let's just say, you know, you want a certain job and you're going after that job. It's not just about the job itself, but it's about the feelings that's going to create. How are you going to feel waking up every morning, going into that workspace that's so fulfilling, and how you're going to help people? How are you going to create opportunities for yourself and other people? And it's feeling it on all senses, you know, of your body, from how you're going to look in the job, how you're going to feel in the job. Visualization is very, very powerful. And when you can take an experience and just really tap into it on all different levels.
Okay, so possibilities become reality with the shift of a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Day three, no worries today. Carefree.
No worries today.
Be happy, don't worry, huh?
That's right. And, you know, I know some people like, it just sounds so like, you know, is that really that easy to do? And here's the thing about worry. I mean, worry is really, you know, it's a matter of adopting that carefree attitude, because to worry about something that hasn't happened, may not even happen, hasn't happened yet, I mean, you're really, you know, it's kind of wasted energy. You could be focusing that energy in on so many other different things. And really, again, to worry and to adopt that carefree attitude really also brings us to a place of staying in the present, which a lot of times most of us aren't in the present day to day. You know, we're doing something in the moment, but we're off thinking about, you know, 3 hours from now where we're going to be and worrying about that. And it's really to have that carefree attitude keeps us in those present moments.
And when you're worried about things, you're also in judgment of things. That's really the state you're in. Plus, you're not in the present. You're not in the present when you're worrying. Now,
right.
What I found out through my experience, as I described a few minutes ago, was that I had to be on receive constantly, not transmit, mm-hmm. not worry, not, you know, being fearful, because I had to be able to receive impressions all the time. So I had to be completely free of worry.
Mm-hmm.
And my mm-hmm. life depended on it, so I got really good at it. The stakes were pretty high. So basically, I never worried about things happening. What I did was I stayed so that my guides and my guardian angels and mm-hmm. my other protection, the spiritual protection that I have, could communicate to me.
Yes, yes, and being open to that. And it's hard to be open to that when you're really, you know, again, if you're worrying, you're focusing so much on the future. You block out, you know, opportunities.
You block out
guidance.
If your life's in danger, or if your job's in danger, or if your finances are in danger, or your relationship's in danger, it doesn't really matter what's in danger.
Mm-hmm.
You need your guidance to circumnavigate that danger.
Exactly, exactly.
So worry doesn't help you with that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Worry actually blocks it so that you're more likely to, you know, trip up.
Yeah. It kind of clutters the brain a little bit. It clutters the brain with just lot of those unnecessary thoughts.
You're kind of going down a spiral without, you know, and not open to impressions and ideas that probably could, you know, help you rather than...
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting stuff. Okay,
yeah, being carefree is one of my favorites. It's one that, you know, mm-hmm. I know I have to practice that one sometimes too, because there's a lot going on. But oh gosh, if you can really practice that and be carefree and have your mind just open and being the present, you can really appreciate so much more what's going around you day to day, and that brings you to that space of gratitude and finding just the little things that bring you joy each and every day.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are really worried about what other people think of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Because number one, people change their mind all the time about what they think about things.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing how quickly people change. I mean, just look at somebody in high school, you know, how, you know, the cliques go here and there. And, you know, so you shouldn't worry about what other people think, because number one, they're usually not really thinking about you at all. They're thinking about
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to understand. And number two, why would it matter what they're thinking?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then tomorrow they may think something else.
And they may
It's all transient, is what I'm trying to say. It's not,
exactly.
You know, you know, people have judgments and people have, you know, jump to conclusions. But in the end, most people are focused on their little world, not
mm-hmm.
yours.
Exactly, exactly. And it comes back down to, again, that personal responsibility, that you have absolutely no control over anything else. The only thing you can control is what you think, say, feel, and do. So why worry about all the external when what you, you know, should be focusing in on is, you know, how you're feeling in the moment and what you're mm-hmm. wanting in the moment and shifting towards thoughts that are going to be more serving for you.
Yeah. Okay, day four, be kind to others and kindness will find me.
Yes, yes. So kindness is that's a beautiful intention. So, yeah, you know, and doing those acts of kindness, you know, if you can go into situations without any kind of agenda, without, you know, I was just, you know, this weekend I had a social situation and just being kind to people and not having an agenda, that's when really some of the beautiful, almost magical things happen. And you know, not only opportunities, but just it grows. You're cultivating something, you know, with the kindness. It you know, what goes around comes around, and kindness will find you when you exert that kindness.
Yeah, whatever you give out comes back. It really does.
It really does.
I've got a story with that. I was, one of my friends changed my oil which is great, except for the fact that you have old oil. And I didn't realize it, but getting rid of old oil is really hard to do. Did you know that? It's a toxic substance.
Okay.
And nobody wants to get rid of your old oil, and you can't dump it anywhere. So
right.
I take it to a Jiffy Lube, thinking that maybe they'll help me, right? And, you know, and basically they meet me with this, you know, you got to be kidding. You know, we're not going to help you. And then I'm in scrubs, right, because I'm a surgeon. And then I start to walk away with the oil, and then he says, wait a minute. He says, do you work at a local hospital? I says, yeah. He says, well, my wife works there, so come back and I'll help you, you see. But that happened because I'm very helpful. You see, if anybody needs help, I help them, okay?
Exactly.
So that I use that as an example that even though they were dead set against helping me, something said to him, help her.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you,
so
like,
I got rid of the oil.
You got rid of the oil, so that's good.
But it's hard to do. You know, you don't realize that until you actually go out and try to do it.
Right. And that kindness is so important. And again, you know, doing things without an agenda, really without an agenda at all, you know, and you know, it can be challenging because we all have things that we want to accomplish and, you know, certain, you know, whether it's, you know, our career, just, you know, our day-to-day interactions, but to be kind to someone without an agenda, it, like you said, it truly comes back to you. And
it
focusing
does.
In on
it
that
does,
as an
yeah.
intention. Yeah. It really, and it's amazing too, when you focus, you know, for that day, for that day number four, I mean, if you focus on that kindness, I'll be curious how much of that you'll find comes back to you all throughout the day. If you're focusing in, because, you know, again, whatever you focus on, that's where your attention is going to go. And you're going to start to see kindness in other people that maybe you hadn't seen before. And that's just a really beautiful thing as well.
Right. Okay, day five is live, love, sparkle. And your focus is sparkle.
Yes. I love a little sparkle because in my past, I actually competed in pageants. So that was one of my little past things that I was involved with. So I've always loved a little bit of sparkle. But you know, that sparkle also comes not just from the external, but that internal sparkle that radiates from inside you. And to never let that dull, whether it's a person or a situation, to not dull that sparkle, to shine from the inside externally out. And oh my gosh, how amazing is that?
I noticed that when I went through a spiritual shift around 1990, that strangers, animals, especially animals in the zoo, it was weird, and people that I didn't know would light up when I passed. You know, they were something ignited in them. And if you go to the zoo, animals would come over to you. And that wasn't happening before that awakening, you see.
Right.
But there's something that when you undergo a spiritual awakening that attracts people to you in a way and animals to you in a way that is different. And that and other people have had the same experience. It's very, very interesting. But that sparkle is that's what I think it is. I think it's an inner light that when they approach you, they somehow feel that light and they smile at you. They, you know, they are much more likely to approach you. You know, it's just very different.
It is. And it's amazing when you have that sparkle, that inner shine and that, you know, just radiating with, you know, positivity and joy and happiness. I mean, you just, you create so many amazing relationships. I've, you know, within this past year, I've met so many wonderful women through just, you know, the work that I do and created some really wonderful friendships and also in addition to, you know, possible collaborations for just different ways that we can really get our message out to the world. And, you know, I don't know if that would have been as possible if I didn't have that sparkle that was really, you know, just that inner, you know, that inner rock star, I guess, just kind of shining through, and people are attracted to that. That's for sure.
Well, we are coming up to the end of our hour here shortly. I wanted to give you an opportunity to give your contact information one more time.
Sure. So that hour went so fast. my website, again, it's melissaescaro.com. That's MelissaEscaro.com. And you can also email me at melissa@melissaescaro.com. So those are the easiest way to get in touch with me. And again, when you go on the website, you'll see all sorts of goodies that I have as far as with some of the business practices for intention setting, the information on my book, and then, of course, an opportunity to sign up for a complimentary coaching session with me. There's a way that you can, you know, get on the schedule if you have questions as well about that. I definitely recommend, if, you know, coaching something that interests you, to, you know, have the opportunity to have a complimentary session and see if it's something that can help you with your growth as well.
We have, you know, a few more minutes if you would like to, you know, leave any words of wisdom or messages with the audience. Is there anything you'd like to let them know at the end here?
Sure. Well, I mean, I would say to anyone really that's having any challenges, you know, in their life, to really stop and reflect on the intentions that you're setting for yourself, and stop to think about the thoughts that you're having on a reoccurring basis. You know, if your thoughts continue to focus on all the things that you don't have and all the challenges that you have, you're going to essentially create more of that in your life. But if you can begin to really shift your thoughts to ones that are more powerful, ones that are more serving, more positive, you're going to see your life just slowly start to change. And you have so many unlimited possibilities through your mind. It's just a really matter of taking some tools, you know, and learning how to shift your perceptions by focusing your thoughts on ones that are going to be more on gratitude and kindness and compassion, all the things that we do want in our life.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful.
A lot of fun. And I wish you all the best with your book. And if you have other books that come out, please let us know here at Temple of Health. We'll be happy to have you back on.
Wonderful. Would love that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, we've been interviewing Melissa Escaro, who's the author of Intentions, A Mindset Reset Guide to Happiness. And next week, we will be interviewing Kedar Prasad. Dr. Prasad wrote a book called Fight Heart Disease with Vitamins and Antioxidants. And then on the 21st, Artie Clark, Sky People, Untold Stories of Alien Encounters in Mesoamerica. And you might ask yourself, why are we doing that on a health show? But we do a lot of things with disclosure, because I think with disclosure, we're going to have a lot of health answers. So this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.